desce. Yeah, yeah. Sobe, sobe. Yeah, yeah. Sobe,
welcome
desce,
back
yeah.
to the OC and J-Vale podcast.
What happened? When did it turn into the... when did you make that assertion that we're going to be the OC and J-Bell podcast? Like, what happened?
You know why? Because it's OJ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Orange
does
juice.
Does the glove fit?
Talking about orange juice.
Orange juice, I got you. Okay.
Okay,
I hear you.
All
I hear
right.
You. Yeah, yeah, I got
all
you.
All right, are we cool with that?
Yeah, yeah, right? For sure.
It's a lovely drink, especially in the morning. It's very good for hydration.
Yes, it is.
Okay, are we good?
I hear you, buddy. I hear you.
What's your jersey today, man? Tell the people what you got going on.
This is a Nigeria jersey.
Yeah.
And it's a retro Nigeria jersey, old school, like from the 90s. And the reason why I'm wearing this jersey, I'm wearing it in honor of South Africa being eliminated from the, World Cup.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Can you show us a little more? Just a little more. A little.
Can you see?
Yeah.
Can you see?
So, it's funny that you say
eagle.
That.
This is the eagle right here.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's funny you say about South Africa, because one of our wonderful, wonderful family members, listeners, Devin Wade Hooper. Okay. Hooper or Hopper. You know what I'm saying? I'm rolling with both.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what's OC's beef with South Africa? We're a lovely bunch and love our NFL.
Mm.
That's Devin.
Okay. So let me answer that question for you. His name is Devin?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you spell the Devin?
D-E-V-O-N.
Devin. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, shout out to you, Devin. Okay. I respect you. I honor you. And thank you for actually sending in your comments. But I will say this. Some of your country people have been behaving in a very, very inappropriate manner.
Mm.
Very, very inappropriate manner. Okay. South Africa, as you know, one of my favorite countries in Africa. Fantastic place. Beautiful country. Obviously, they have their own problems, just like everybody else. But it is a wonderful country. And because it's such a wonderful country, you have a lot of people who go there. They immigrate to South Africa to look for better opportunities because of the infrastructure and all of the things that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have in particular are these black South Africans, and what they're doing is they're making noise about immigration into their country, and they're trying to kick out other African people from their country, from South Africa. Africa. You
black
have
South Africans
black
are
South
trying
Africans.
To kick out other black Africans.
Other black Africans from the country. They're burning down their shops, they're looting, they're killing some of them. Horrific, the way that they are behaving. And so my beef isn't with South Africa as a whole. It is with those people. That's who my beef is with. You can't be African. You can't understand the plight and the struggle of Africans. And because your country may be more developed, now you're sitting over there behaving that way. Do you not remember when apartheid was going on? Nigeria actually sent troops to your country to help fight. Like, Nigeria did a lot of different things to help and support the South African freedom fighters movement. And so now that you guys are maybe the most developed economy, now you want to be like, get out of our country. It is ridiculous. It is a horrible thing that they're doing, and that cannot stand. So my beef is with them in particular, not with you, Mr. Devin, because I can tell from you listening to our podcast, you are not one of those people.
Shout out to Devin. You know, I appreciate that explanation, because this is why the assault on education and history is so relevant, because as you just informed me and broke that down, my perspective on the situation immediately changed, because there was some historical relevance to apartheid South Africa and sending in troops. And I'm like, man, if you remember those things and can relate to them, I mean, the issues you have, whatever they are, obviously there's a resource-driven kind of narrative, probably fear factor. But when you bring that information in, you go, hey, man, we're here to help each other out.
Yes.
And you forget that when you forget your history. Shout out to Kit.
Go ahead. You know something that I find really interesting? In a lot of these situations, and a lot of these countries, what you will find is you have some people, very few people at the top, right, who are looking to divide, right? But for the most part, it's the people who are like supposed to be in this together that are fighting against each other. It's the people who are supposed to be in this together that I'd be like, no, you, get out of our country. You, this, you, that. While the people at the top are just enjoying and reaping all the benefits. Nobody has pointed to them and been like, hey, you get out of our country. No, it's the people down there that everybody's fighting. It's a mind trip, man. And we have to find a way to overcome that type of rhetoric, that type of thought process, and stop doing this. It's crazy, Jason.
I'm so glad what you just said, because I was thinking about something. I was reading either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, and it was discussing something I'll get into. But what I'm recognizing is I'm seeing a lowering of expectation across the board. Hear me out. Let me tell you a little story before I get started, because I was thinking about this, thought to myself, let me find something in my life that I relate to. And I remember when I was in UCLA and I was hurt in the year I was out. I'm not doing anything, you know, I train or whatever. But Deshaun Foster, my boy, former head coach of UCLA, running back, he was hurt also. So the strength coordinator goes, I want you guys to come in the morning and work out with the young guys. Now we're like, why should we have to do that? We're hurt. You know, we're getting penalized because we're injured. That's not fair. So we thought, oh, we're going to rebel. We went out all night, OC. All night long. We didn't sleep. So you know if you up all night, we came in hot. Hot, bro. I mean, we went through that lift. We're yelling. We're screaming. We made it happen. But the strength coordinator, good dude, Mike Lynn was his name, he looked at us and he says, oh, I'm not... No more of this. These guys, you're not coming back, because this is a bad example for the young guys, for the freshmen. Because what did we do? We just lowered the expectation. You got to show up. We showed up. We were on time. We did all the lifts, but our behavior lowered the expectation of what you were supposed to do in that workout, how serious you were supposed to take it. And when your star player, your running back, Deshaun Foster, and your starting corner are doing that, what are the young guys thinking? Right?
100%.
So I was looking at something. The Vice President of the United States was talking in an interview about the Richard Nixon administration and made a comment that said, Watergate wouldn't even be serious now. It would be a week-long conversation and move on. And when he said it, I thought, he's probably right.
He's right. He's right.
He's right. But also, these are the people at the highest point of governments we can get in. We know there's problems, but they're lowering expectations everywhere. People are lowering expectations of how you talk to people, how you treat people, how you behave. There's this lowering of expectation, because if I lower my expectations of how you should behave, then you can't judge me on how I should behave. And as people, as someone who has won two championships, as people who have been professionals on teams, that you bring that into a locker room, into an organization, it's over. It's over. And I thought, man, and every day I'm reading, you know, articles, I'm looking at people in power that don't have to hit a number, meaning they don't have to balance the books, right? Like a corporation, a business. They lower the expectation, because if they lower it, you can't expect greatness out of them.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It was just on my mind.
No. Okay. So I guess we're going to do this today. Yeah. Okay. No, but we are. We're going to do this. Okay. So what you said is 1000% true. I don't have any argument to counteract what you just said. But I'm going to give you something else to think about.
Please.
So, about a week ago, there's a Nigerian guy. And his name is, I think his name is YC, is his name. And he goes on the internet, and he was doing an interview, and he said there is something called an Olodo Uprising.
Olodo Uprising.
Olodo Uprising.
Okay.
Across Nigeria. Now, Olodo in Nigeria means somebody who lacks intelligence or somebody who is silly, right? And what he was saying was the most stupid people, right, are creating content all across Africa and all across Nigeria. And these are the people who are making the most money. These are the people who have the most followers. These are the people who are celebrities in Africa or in Nigeria, where before education, intelligence was what was put to the forefront, yeah. Celebrated. Now it is this, right? And so what has happened is it's like the country is getting more and more stupid, right? As people who are supposed to be celebrated aren't, and the people who aren't supposed to be celebrated are. And so more and more people are trying to be like these people, right? So the question now is it government that's making this happen? Or is this just how people, is this just what people react to? Because this is what is being rewarded. So when you say the standard has been lowered, it has, but what is happening in Nigeria, although it's a completely different country, kind of mirrors what's going on across the world. And we've discussed this at some point. We've discussed this before. Like, the people who aren't supposed to, you know, be influencing society are influencing society. And this is coming from the bottom up. Now, do we think that government is involved in this? Is this something that we're saying, hey, the government is actually doing this to keep people stupid so they can become more pliant and we can control them? Do we think that that's what's going on? Or is this just human nature? Is this just what we are? Because I don't have any explanation for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's why I said, let me push back a little bit on what you're saying, because you're right in what you're saying there, but there's also an undercurrent of what's going on in every country in the world where the most stupid people are being promoted. And what exactly is causing that?
Yeah. It's both. It's both. And I think that one thing we always do to our listeners is there, when you're discussing complex topics, the answer isn't simple. It's usually a blend. And when I look at what you were saying, and I agree, right? What's pushed to the forefront? Well, obviously, people love gossip. People love, you know, all this drama, or we wouldn't watch it on TV. There's something in us that likes it. There's something that in people that enjoy killing. It's in every show. It just goes to a certain point. Right? Person gets shot, they fall, and we don't see everything else, but we know somebody got shot, right? They figured out exactly how far you can push it. Okay? So there is something in us as people that respond to this behavior. Okay, fine. But why is it taking over? I go back to what you were saying about when you talk about education, all right? Doesn't matter how educated you are, you still want to be entertained and you do that, right? A lot of times you just want to shut your mind off. You want to listen to something. It's funny. It's whatever. It's reality TV. Whatever it is. Fine. But when you when that's all you consume, or that's how you have to be, that's how you consume everything, you can be told anything.
Mm.
So when you were talking about that, I thought about another thing that just happened. And that is, under one administration, they were trying to wipe out student loan debt, right? Under the current, because of tax, the tax bill they pushed through, they're putting that student loan debt back on people that have the debt, and it's going to be more. Their premiums each week, and they're not loaning as much to Americans for education. So, what is that policy going to do? It's going to keep more people that can't afford to go and get a higher education from getting it because they just can't afford it. Why? And I think there is a two-prong or a couple of different reasons because that. One, obviously, you got to fund a tax bill that you got to get tax dollars from somewhere when you're cutting it for other people. Fine. But ultimately, throughout history, if you want to control a population, you want to be able to tell them anything and them to trust it and them not to evaluate and them not to dig. That's why investigative journalism is so important. That's why not believing everything you hear and researching and finding a way to think deeper gives you an opportunity. Because when you've seen it in all the countries that there's been a revolt of some sort against authority, it's the thinkers. It's the intellectuals.
Yeah.
And so if your population doesn't have the ability to, as a majority, to think deeply about current situations and articulate it, especially in writing, what are you going to do? The written word is so important. How we communicate is so important. How we define words is so important, because that's how we come together and we trying to achieve the same goals. One thing I look at, how people have hijacked words and terminologies and made them into other things. And you're like, genius, because you've shifted something away from its original meaning, which gets you to grab an audience that might not have been there. And you see that a lot. But yeah, I think the assault on education is at the forefront when you're in power to keep people subdued, especially a lower class where you can maintain decreasing their wages.
Mm. You want to hear one of my most controversial ideas, J-Bell?
I feel like today's that day.
You want to hear one of them?
I do. Why are you blinking your eyes like that? That shit makes me nervous. Why are you blinking your eyes like that? Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You ready?
Why did you do that? Oh my gosh.
Because this is squeaky bum time, Jiba.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I do not think Nigeria as a country can operate under democracy. I don't believe it. And let me tell you why. We make jokes all the time. Everything is under control, right? But there are certain systems that democracy is made for. And there are certain systems that democracy isn't. And I'll give you an example. So what we have in Nigeria is we have multiple tribes. Multiple. If you go to the eastern part of Nigeria, Igbo tribe, the southwest, the Yoruba, if you go up to the north, the Hausa, the Fulani, these are completely different people, J-Bell. Completely. You got a region that's mostly Christian, a region that's mostly Muslim, a region that's a mix of both, and a region that's like different religions, right? Somebody from the northern part of Nigeria and somebody from the eastern part of Nigeria it might as well be the difference between a Spanish person and a Russian.
Wow.
You understand?
Wow.
An English person and a German, right?
And is that because the way the country was split up during
They drew the lines around. Yeah. They said, you guys are now one country.
Right.
And so the mentality, the thinking is completely different. We're not like the same at all. And so now you have this place. And so what they try to do is they try to zone leadership. So at one time, they say it goes to the northern region. Then the next election, it goes to the southern region. Then the next... So they try to do it like that, right? In some estimation of trying to be fair. But what happens is, when one region gets power, they do things in that region. And then when the other person comes into power, they undo a lot of those things and they focus on their region. So everything is just like, there's no sense of unity.
Yeah.
Now, Nigeria as a whole, right? 200 and something million people.
Wow.
The marketplace is massive. So you kind of want to keep Nigeria as a country because of its potential, right? But if that continues, this regionalization and this person coming in and this, the country can never grow.
That harms investment.
It harms everything. So what is necessary is not this regional, you know, or this every 4 years, somebody comes in from a different part. What is necessary is a good 25 to 30 years of constant government with one idea that's going to do the right thing for the entire country. But the way it's structured, it doesn't work like that right now. And so everything just keeps on getting interrupted. Everything just keeps on getting broken down. And so we cannot, you know what I mean, grow as a country with that type of mindset. So I've thought, you know, democracy is amazing, but it's not for everybody, man. Like, everybody has different needs, different realities, and I think we need to be very, very focused in on those.
Yeah. Democracy works at its best when the population has the relevant information, and it's true, right? The real information, it's true, you can count on it. They come together, people think differently, but in a collective, you make a decision. But if that isn't true, then you have a lot of holes in democracy. A ton. You can see by your explanation how and I'm using the word man just because this is how they say, but a strong man comes to power.
Mm.
An authoritative leader, whether it's, you know, a dictatorship or the equivalent. Now, what are you subjected to? You're subjected to, you hope that that person has the best interest in the country in mind. Democracy allows you to make a mistake with that person, and hopefully not as much damage can happen, mm-hmm. and they can be moved out. You know, I understand exactly what you're saying. And you can see why a lot of people go, well, we need to change this form of government because it's just not working. Because you know what? It isn't for a lot of people.
Yeah. Can I read your email?
Yes, please do. I would love to hear email.
Okay.
I would love this.
I got this email. Dear friend, I actually got your email through my online exploration. I was assigned by my colleague to seek it comes from a Mr. Uba, okay, Mr. Uba. Mm-hmm. I was assigned by my colleague to seek a foreign partner who will assist us in providing a convenient foreign account in any designated bank abroad. 68 million dollars.
I can't. What?
Pending our arrival in your country for utilization and disbursement with the owner of the account. This amount. The contractor has executed a payment made to the contractor. remaining the over-invoiced amounts of 52 million bucks, which we want to transfer the funds out of the country to disperse amongst ourselves.
Oh my gosh. I did not know you were going to do me like that. I didn't know you were going to do me like
Jerome,
that. Oh my
I
God.
I saw this email.
Oh my God.
And I said,
"You're evil."
I said, "Are we still doing this?
Yes.
Are they still doing this,
yes.
Jerome?
Yes.
They're still doing it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Have you seen the
Come
people
on, man.
Have you seen the people online that will take these people through the whole process? Like, they'll be on the phone,
yeah.
They'll be talking to, they'll act old and they'll do it, and how frustrated they get on the other side. Cuz they got the fish on the hook. So, of course they're going to see it through, but their whole objective is, if I just do this,
yeah,
that takes time from them getting somebody
doing it
else.
To somebody else, yeah.
It's crazy,
Jay Bell.
Jay Bell. Still, it's. If you put out 1,000 of them, you know it's got
somebody
be
might. There are stereotypes that are negative, but sometimes they're true. Like we got to stop this, man. Like, come
okay.
on, man.
Okay, it's funny.
Come
it's
on,
funny. But I'm gonna push back and say,
yeah.
Do you see more of that in certain areas because of lack of opportunity or jurisdiction as far as being prosecuted also, but still?
Yeah, I mean, listen, crime is crime, right? And crime is gonna exist no matter which community
yeah.
you're in.
That.
My thing is, this is so stereotypical. Right, that I never expected they would send this to me, a Nigerian. They would
you like
send it to a Nigerian?
To me?
Me? Like what?
You know what? You were disappointed. You were disappointed.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I started laughing.
I get it. You know what? It's funny when you say that. Think about it. You might have, and we've been in a locker room with a bunch of characters, and you've seen their behavior, and they like, man, that guy does this or acts that way, but he
yeah.
would never do it to me.
Yeah. Oh, they did it to me. They tried.
And you're so disappointed, not at their behavior, but their behavior towards
both.
You.
No, it's both. It's both, Jamie. It's both. It's both. It's both because number one, I couldn't believe that they were still doing this,
yeah.
right? Because this
yeah.
is what you hear. I've heard
yeah.
this since I moved to America, like 30
yeah.
years ago, I heard that they were doing this. And so the fact that there's still people 30 years later,
yeah.
when you hear the word, when you hear Nigerian, a lot of people immediately think scam.
Yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
this immediate thought that a lot of people hear.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for so long that in my head, I'm like, they can't still. Yes, they're still doing it. They're still saying, hey, we're going to deposit this. Oh, it's crazy, man. But, you know,
man,
whatever.
That's funny. On another note, man, I want to know your thoughts as you see about Chris Johnson. Tell everybody what before you go into it, just kind of.
So he's been diagnosed with ALS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
and,
a year ago, I think, and now it's
yeah, and nobody knew, but it is like progressed significantly, and
yeah.
you know he's at a point now where he can't speak.
Yeah,
yeah. So he's using like one of those things where they use their mind,
yeah.
or their eyes,
yeah.
through a teleprompter. He's like lost significant movement. He's in a wheelchair, I believe.
Yeah, he can't move, man.
He can't move at all,
body, man.
And when I was watching that, Strahan did the interview, Michael
yeah,
did the
yeah,
interview,
yeah.
and I was watching it, and I was like, you know, a couple of things came to mind. First thing is, we were around when Chris Johnson was playing.
Yeah, that's what,
and,
he was the man, one of the best running backs
goodness,
in the game.
One of the
Fast.
Best running backs, the fastest, CJ2K,
yeah.
rush for, I think, 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
I think he did that. He was a phenomenal player. And then he retired, and then I hadn't heard anything from him. You know what I mean? For a long time. So my first, this was the first time I've heard anything about Chris Johnson in years. And so to see that was, it was jarring. I was like, oh my God. Because all I remember was him as a player, right? And then you go from seeing him as a player, this phenomenal athlete, and then the next thing you know, he's in a situation he's in now, which is crazy. But then, you know, looking at the support that he has around him, I thought was magnificent. Because in a situation like that, that is something that you 100% need. Like, I know. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, I'm not at that extent, but I could very easily have been, right?
Easily.
Very easily have been. And there were people around when I was, it was, you know.
Yeah.
It was touch and go there, right? So, like, I immediately felt him. I felt like what he was going through, and I understood that his family being around and his wife sticking by him and his family. I mean, that's a tough deal there, J-Bell. A tough deal, and she's been doing it for a long period of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a tough one, man. Just shout out to Chris. Shout out to his family for trying their best to take care of him, and we wish him nothing but the best.
I like how you phrase that, man, because what can you do? You know, like, it's hard seeing people that we played with, our peer group, go through things. It's really tough. But you just said it, man. If you invest in people, you got good people around you, you don't know what the future holds. Mm. Nobody does. But live in the moment and do your best towards others, because at some point in our lives, we will need our people to step up for us. And you don't plan for it.
Mm.
But if you just continue to try to live the best way possible, try to be the best for everyone else, if you find yourself in a difficult situation, you know a lot of people will have your back.
Yeah. I remember I was having a conversation with my sister, my elder sister, Nkem. Shout out to Nkem. This was maybe 2 years ago. And I told her in my usual way, I was like, you know, I can make a case for being really sick or being really poor. She was like, what do you mean? I was like, I can make a case for it. She was like, make your case. And I was like, we're all looking. Really, we all go through this world looking for love in some form or fashion. We go through this world looking for love in some form or fashion. And I promise you, there is no better way to find out who loves you than to be sick or to be poor. Those two ways, you'll find out for sure. So for everybody, you know what I mean? It sounds like a joke, but it's really not. If you're really, really sick or poor, the people who remain around you or the people who are around you, those are the people who really care and who really love you. And that is the case for it. Other than that, no, there is no case.
That is a fact. So if you know who those people are, keep them close. Treat them right, keep them close, because you are absolutely on point with that, OC. That was a good one, man. That was a good one. I felt that. I felt that. And shout out to all of our listeners, man. Share, man. Tell a friend. Keep liking, subscribing, all that kind of stuff. Tell a lot of people. Get our numbers up, man. We're growing substantially each week. It's going up. We're trying to build this thing back to how it used to be when we were frequent with our weekly episodes. So we appreciate it. Keep it coming, because I need, if y'all don't do this, I can't get in 30 minutes of time with OC. He's not going to give it to me.
I won't. That's a fact.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
He's going to give me 5 minutes, figure out what my problem is, fix it, and he's going to move on.
Gone. Yep. Gone. Gone.
He needs this so I can have this. Appreciate it, man. Till next time. You know, hold it down. Don't let the World Cup take you over. Ready for my mama, picture perfect color.